I want to dive off into this tonight because we've got a pretty good ways to go, and I want to make sure we get to where we need to get. We've been talking about building our success scripturally. What's that spell? Boss. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, do it like a boss. Do it like a boss. Building our success scripturally. And really the deposit that we want to make in this series is to make a transfer of principles and values from one generation to another. There are some things that have been unspoken for decades that we assumed people would pick up, maybe by observation or osmosis, and the reality is, for whatever reason, they are not being transferred to generation next the way they should be. And so there's a tremendous gap in the marketplace. Everywhere I go, I love talking to people who either own businesses or are managers or supervisors, people. And they all tell me the same thing. We can't find good help. And so what I've learned is no matter where I go, no matter who I'm talking to, the same things kind of apply. And so what we're looking at is the fact that you're going to spend at least a third of your life working, which makes the way we work the greatest testimony you have. And Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Some of us preach the gospel through a pair of needle-nose pliers, Mr. Electrician. Others of us preach the gospel maybe in a classroom. Some of us preach the gospel as a linesman. Some of us preach the gospel as a police officer. Some of you, that was police. Some of us preach the, my Granny Payne always said, the police is going to get you. I was okay with the police, just don't mess with the police. Some of us, whether it's a medical profession or a nurse. So the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don Henry does it through archery. He does it with a bow and an arrow, presenting Jesus Christ to other people. Jackie does it as a manager at the Riverstone restaurant. She's reaching people. So, you know, the way we work, that's really, really important, because I said to somebody the other day, they said, well, what if I died doing what I was working on today? And they felt like their life wouldn't have mattered. And I said, you've got it twisted. You've got to understand that if all of us do what we perceive to be Christian work, right, then who's going to be out there reaching the world? Amen? So God wants us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And so that's what we're talking about. Now, tonight, I need to make a connector for you. And I believe the scripture I'm going to show you before we really dive into this is going to be eye-opening for you. If you're taking notes tonight, you can call this one the generation combination. Somebody say the generation combination. We are one of the few nations that disrespects our elders. We throw older people away. It's a shame. Old is not obsolete. Right? As a matter of fact, your Bible says in Psalm 92, I believe it is, that those who are planted in the house of God, when you're old, you'll still be thriving and bearing fruit. You should still be raring and tearing. And Mickey, I know I'm not supposed to ask a woman this, but you are a gorgeous woman, especially for your age. And I just want to ask, how old are 80 what?
I will be 83 December
23rd. 83 years young. Would you stand up and let everybody look at your beautiful face? Amazing, amazing. Is anybody older than 83? I didn't ask if you feel older than 83. Okay, great, perfect. Let me just remind you that next Wednesday night is going to be a ton of fun. It's our ugly Christmas sweater party in here. We're gonna have food for you. And so you want to come hungry, and we're going to have a ton of fun together. It's an awesome time every single year. Mixmaster Wild will be the MC, and it's going to be a great time together. Also, don't forget that on Christmas Eve, somebody say Christmas Eve, we'll have two services as usual. It's on Sunday this year at 9 and 11. Be thinking about who you're going to invite this Sunday. I got a word for you. I promise you don't want to miss it. I really encourage you to bring somebody with you. How many of you have used a Love Struck card in the last month? Awesome. Excellent. I want to challenge all of you to pick one up, and let's use one this week. Are there 10 people who can commit to using a Love Struck card this week? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, wonderful. More than 10. All of you, go after it. Somebody say generation combination. You see generation warfare going on in our society. You see young pitted against old. It happens a lot of times in churches. We are a multi-generational church, and I thank God for that. You see from cradle to grave in this place, we are a multi-generational church, but we will always lean young. Say that again. We are a multi-generational church, but we will always lean young. Somebody says, well, they don't sing the songs I grew up on and I like. Well, there's some method behind that madness. We need to capture generation next. We need to make sure the emerging generation is captured by the heart of God. Music is one of the ways we do that. Psalm 145:4 says this, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. If you remember in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, our God is referred to as the God of Abraham. Let's do it again. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. So we see three generations there. Some of you may not realize that, but there was a season when they were all three alive at the same time. And so he's a God of generations. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So he's talking to little children. He said, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. So you see three gaps. There are three age groups. You see fathers, you see young men or adolescents, and then you see children. And so we see something going on there with the generations. We see on the day of Pentecost, as Peter stands up and preaches, and God pours out the Holy Spirit, that he quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and Acts 2, 17. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days. Well, what days are we living in? The last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Watch this. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So God's got a plan for you, whether you're young or old. His plan includes you. Can I tell you that God's plan takes you all the way to your last breath? Can I tell you there is no retirement in the kingdom of God? You might change what you do, but you should not lose your value. It should be increasing because you're gaining influence as you go along. You never expire in your usefulness. People may want to treat you that way, but just know right now that your value has not changed. It's actually going up. And although the outward man might be perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, the glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. And so you've got to learn to celebrate both. The Bible says God makes everything beautiful in its time. To everything, there's a season. There's a time to be young and there's a time to be old. And if you're old, stop looking back at when you were young, saying those were the good old days. And if you're young, stop trying to act old. Let me just help you right now. I started pastoring this church when I was 26. That is a bebe. And I'm got people sitting in front of me dealing with major life crises and major life problems. And they're 2 and 3 times my age. And they're coming to a bebe asking for help. And it felt weird. But let me tell you, wisdom has no age. Truth has no age. Amen? And so when we speak wisdom, we speak truth, whether we're receiving it or whether we're delivering it, then there's always a place for you. And again, I just want to say again, old does not mean obsolete. I want to pick on him again. Mike Roof, I was with him some time back here, and I was watching some guys. Mike, how long were you a linesman? 34 years. And I was watching all these young bucks swarm around him like bees on honey. And they were picking his brain, and we were out doing something fun. And they were picking his brain. I mean, they were nowhere near a pole, nowhere near a line. And they're picking his brain, wanting to know how he does it. That's the way it ought to be. Amen? People ought to be seeking us out. People ought to be looking for the wisdom that we've gained over the years. And I wasn't suggesting that you're old, by the way. Actually, I think you've got more hair than I do. Psalm 92:14, we said it earlier, even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. I love Psalm 37:25. It says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Some perspectives in life only come with age and experience. There's no other way to get them. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 8 says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Verse 2, teach the older men, okay, here it is, the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. Verse 4 said, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husband, and then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Verse 6, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And so we see the biblical model is for the generations to work together. The passing of truth from one generation to the next, from the older to the younger. And if you think about it in terms of a relay, that's what's going on, a relay race where they're handing off a baton. There's a generational relay going on. And rather than having intergenerational warfare or discrimination, then what we should be doing is understanding that we're all on the same team and we need each other to succeed. The old need the youth and the strength of the young. The young need the wisdom and the experience of the old. And together, we can make a difference for Jesus Christ. Can you give God praise tonight? So tonight, what I want to do is I've asked some individuals who are business owners or managers to come, and I'm going to ask them some questions tonight. And they have successfully navigated the waters of business. And I wanted you to hear from them because I want you to see what employers are looking for and what they're experiencing. And so I'm going to ask the following to come and join me in the seats behind me. I want to ask Woody Oldroyd, Larry Martin, Pam Smiley, Trevor Moyer, and Calvin Bristol to come on up and jump in a seat behind me here. Would y'all give our panel a hand tonight? It's not easy to sit in front of people, you know. So let's do this. Let's just go down the line, and I want you to say what your name is and what company you're with or you own.
My name is Pam Smiley, and I own Smiley's Cleaning Company.
I'm Larry Martin, and I work for Pump and Pantry Convenience Stores as operations.
I'm Calvin Bristol, and I own Bristol Asphalt Incorporated right here in Troy.
I'm Trevor Moyer with Gore Construction out of Binghamton, in the process of purchasing the company right now.
I'm Woody Oldroyd from Gillette. I own Woody's Country Store, and we have Woody's Self Storage, and we also have a U-Haul business.
Pam, how many years have you been in business now?
I believe it's about 12.
12. Larry, how many years have you been with Pump and Pantry?
25 years.
25. Calvin?
I've been in business for 28 years, but I've been doing what I do for 38 years.
Trevor?
I've been with the company for 18 years and started the process about 4 years ago of purchasing.
Woody?
I've been in business 47 years.
And how many, Woody, how many over those 40, did you say 47? My goodness. That's awesome. That's amazing.
That's just in the store business. I was in the wholesale egg business before that.
That's amazing. Would y'all give them a hand for longevity? In that 47 years, Woody, just ballpark, I know it's tough. How many employees do you think you and Jeannie have had during that time?
Probably a couple hundred.
Couple hundred. Trevor, how many would y'all have or do you oversee?
Right now, 42, 50 during the heat of the season, but we get down around 20 during the winter time. So.
Calvin, in your years, just a rough ballpark. I know it's tough.
Probably 150. Mm-hmm. People have come through my door and left.
Larry?
I have 12 right now.
12?
Yep.
Well, in 25 years, you know, retail is a big turnover. My managers, we have long-term, but I would say probably 1,000, maybe 2,000 employees part-time.
Wow. Would y'all give Larry a hand that he's still alive and has any hair? Miss Pam?
I have about 17 now, and I've probably had 38 in the last 10, 12 years.
Amazing. Amazing. That's awesome. Why don't you guys, in no particular order, but just briefly define for me, what does success mean to you? When you hear the word success, what comes to mind? What does that word mean to you? If on your tombstone at the end of your life, we wrote they were successful, what would that mean to you?
Success to me is job completion, you know, 100%. Mm-hmm. Happy, paid up customers is success, stuff like that.
That's good. Somebody else?
For me, it would be well, being a mother, being a wife, having employees, and it would be just prioritizing everything. Mm-hmm. So if you can do that successfully, then I think you made it. So with, you know, loving your husband and your children, managing your household and managing your customers and your employees, I think that's a great success to accomplish all that.
Yeah, I think you have a really, really unique situation and position. I watch it with Marsha all the time, and I see it with working moms or single moms, how to juggle all those things. And I'm blown away. So would y'all let Pam know how much you appreciate her and running the bus ministry? Somebody else want to weigh in on that one?
For us, it's family. The business has been, we've been in business for 70 years. But in that time frame in construction, it's very hard to keep the same manpower. And we've been very successful in keeping the same group of people for, most of them have been here for 20 to 30 years.
So, wow.
We pride ourselves in keeping everybody together as a family. And we're here to be successful together, and we either sink or swim together. So
that's amazing. Let me tap into that just for a second, because that's something I admire in ministry. The average minister stays at a church 2 years, and 2 years you don't even know people's last name yet. So how do you ever gain influence? And so I really love longevity. You know, most of the people that are in leadership in this church have been here for a long time, where they come in, and once they connect, then they don't go anywhere because they're so well fed. But how have you guys done that? What are three things you see that has helped you to accomplish that?
Well, it, like I said, construction is a very hard industry. It's an industry where guys, we argue, there's everybody wears their emotions on their sleeves, but at the end of the day, we're all here to get a job done and make a paycheck for everybody. And it's important to us that everyone goes home happy and goes home with enough money that they can feed their family and be happy together. You know, happiness for the guys is a big thing, and it's hard to do. New York is a state that pays fairly well, so it makes that easier. But also to reach out to each other, and if there's an issue, if an employee is having a family issue, I try to keep an open door policy where, if you have something on your mind, please come in and tell me, because the last thing we want to do is brush it under the rug and go out and do your job and shut up. If that's not what it's about.
Right. Yeah, Woody, I'd love to hear what success means to you, and then I want to kind of piggyback something Trevor said with you that I know that you do.
Well, I think success, you have to, I guess it's just maintaining an example. We have one girl who has worked for us, Valerie, who has worked for us. She's 52, and she's worked for us since she got out of high school. She went to the banks, and she worked in the banks, and she was working full-time at the bank, and she doesn't make as much money at the bank, but she quit the bank full-time to go part-time with us and come back with us. But it's like my wife and I just love Valerie. She's like one of our kids, and we have another girl, Joella, who's been with us for about 20 years, and they just become a part of your family. And Valerie told me when her dad died, she says, "You got to be my dad now." And if you don't think that puts it on you, but I think it's just maintaining a stability and doing. You try to raise your kids and teach them integrity. You try to care about everybody there. You have rules. You have to have a standard that you go by. But I think you have to care about the people that's working for you as much as you expect them to care about you. And I know at my place, I clean the toilets. So, I mean, I don't expect them to do something.
Lead by example. So you just said something that nailed it and just screams at me. You said, if you're going to be successful, that you've got to care about them as much as you want them to care about you or your business.
Right.
I think that is such a paradigm shift, right? I mean, imagine if every employer had that attitude. that I'm going to take care of you, Dave, the way I need you and want you to take care of me. That's awesome, man. And that's really such an example. And again, not just as an employee leading by example and witnessing to the world through the way we work, but you guys are reaching the world through the way you employ people. And we kind of break that bad boss mindset that the boss is the big bad guy who's always looking out for number one. And we live in a culture that has really painted ownership of business as something very negative, something very derogatory, and something that is very money hungry, money loving, and self-seeking and self-serving. And I know one of the things you told me, Woody, that just lit me up on the inside was there are four things you do to keep people first. And I think they're worth sharing again. And it was number one, always be fair with the employee. I love that. And number two, try to understand what their life is like. You put yourself in their shoes. The third one is you said you try to put them on a task that they're the best at. So in other words, you set them up to win when you can. And then the fourth thing you said you do is you try to be as flexible as you can. Well, you know, there's this mindset that so many authoritarians or bosses or supervisors or it's just my way or the highway, period, the end. It's not like that. It's you're trying to work with that individual. And you kind of put a disclaimer on that. You said, I don't tolerate them blatantly breaking rules that endanger the well-being of the business. I have obligations to the other employees, my family, people we do business with. They all depend on the business running properly. But talk to me for just a second, Woody, about why that's important and how taking the time to see people actually helps in them investing back in the company.
Well, I think it's real important to keep people as happy as you possibly can. I don't hire the people anymore. My son does, but when I used to hire him, I always said, when you don't get to the point where you don't want to be here, please quit.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Because the rest of us are still going to be here.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, it's my opinion that a good manager is a person who can get people to do what they want and make them think it's their idea. You know, I mean, you're not, what I'm saying is you're not driving it down their throat.
Right.
You're bringing them on board and getting and helping them to understand the plan.
Can you talk to Marcia after service? Totally kidding. No, that's excellent though. Larry, you deal with, like you said, thousands of employees. What do you think is one of the greatest things that discourages an employee?
Not building them up. One of the key things for my job is always go in the store and find something positive and build them up, like what you said. Let them take ownership of the store. And we're going to make some mistakes, but we're going to learn from the mistakes. And that's one thing about our company is that we reward people for doing a good job, but if they make mistakes, they don't get torn down from it.
Yeah.
And we have long-term managers. Like you said, I came home from our party today. We have 17 stores, and out of the 17 stores, we have five managers that have been with us 30 years. There are four that have been with us 20 years. The rest are all 8- and 10-year employees. So we let them take care of the business, and then I'm just there to help them. I hate the word boss because the boss doesn't accomplish much. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
And that's what we preach.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Let's go to this one. When you guys look back over the years at employees, I want you to kind of take a second and think of and picture in your mind somebody that has worked for you or that works for you now that's a joy to work with. You love going to work with them. You love being around them. What sets that person apart? What is it that you're looking for in that type of employee? What is it that impresses you or makes you say, man, that is admirable and I wish I could clone that person?
Well, for me, it would be their attitude, because there's such a joy to be around. And when their attitude is good, then it just lightens the whole atmosphere. And I really think that the people Of course, we clean at nighttime usually, but they can feel that even the next day.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll have a lot of customers say, well, if it's in a home or an office, I don't know, we just feel, something feels different in the office now, which we know it's the presence of God. But yeah, if you can get someone with a great attitude, I don't care how much junk is on the toilet, but if you can still clean it with a good attitude, it makes a world of difference. Someone who complains or just so... it's just a downer to be around. I mean, no one wants to work around that. You know, we should be working as if we're working unto the Lord.
Yeah.
At all times.
So attitude, for sure, is a huge game changer. Somebody else?
We have a truck driver that is 59 years old. He came to work with us about 6 years ago, and he came up and said something to me one day. He goes, every day I do one thing extra every day. One thing extra every day. And he does his routine. He's a truck driver, and he comes and he does his job, and then at the end of the day, he makes sure he does one extra thing every day. And he's the same guy that comes in and comes in every day, comes up to my desk and shakes my hand and says, thanks for the work today.
Wow.
And it's just I lean on his age, because I think you've said it before, a younger generation doesn't see it that way sometimes, and it's
gratitude instead of entitlement.
Right. The entitlement is a huge thing, and it's just great to see someone like that, to just be that grateful to have a job, but then also to go one step farther to make us as a company successful, because without that, we're not going anywhere, we're just spinning our wheels.
Every day I do one extra thing, which means he's intentional. He's looking for his extra thing every day. Well, how many of you know you can do one extra thing tomorrow or today? Right? Okay, how many of you would say, I'm going to try to do one thing extra tomorrow? Let's just start with tomorrow. I don't need you to commit to any other day. How many of you say, I can do one thing extra on the job tomorrow to make a difference? Amen. Awesome. Let's give God praise for that. Did somebody else want to say something about one of those employees that stands out to you?
I guess I probably would go back to Bowery. Like one Sunday afternoon about a month ago, she calls me on the phone and she says, the cooler's not up to temperature. It's not the temperature it should be. She just takes care of it. You don't have to worry about when Bowery's there. But, you know, I'm just saying, this girl... is if she's there, she's going to watch the cooler temperatures. She's going to take care of the customers.
She's looking out.
She's going to look out for you.
Okay, that brings up something else that I think is super important people overlook. Details, details, details. Why are details important?
It costs your company a lot of money, for one thing. You know, the details, if you don't pay attention to, like, for example, gas pumps that might have a leak in or something, get gas... all your car costs us money to have it cleaned, or you don't test or check the tanks for water or something. You get water and diesel, there's different things, different paperwork mistakes, and different things it costs. It all goes downhill, you know, the accounting department, just everybody has to put in more time on different things, so it's very important as far as your paperwork and your everyday skills are done correctly.
Well, I think about what you said, just a freezer. I mean, if she wasn't keeping an eye on that temp, she notices it's off, you could have lost everything in the cooler. I mean, and what happens is, I think a lot of times in management and supervision, or when you own a company, people think you're being nitpicky, they think you're being OCD, they think you're being anal, and the reality is, no, there's a reason behind why I need those details dealt with, and it's simply because it affects bottom line, it affects quality, affects the name we put on it, it affects our level of excellence, and so you're looking for people who have an eye for details. Would all of you say that's pretty unanimous?
We have a girl who's only been with us a couple of years now, Tina, and if she's working, when you come in, we call it Hoagie Land. This is where it has all the condiments and all the stuff where we put our subs together. And it will be beautiful, won't it, when she comes in. If she's been working the night before, I mean, other ones do a pretty good job. But hers, she's just got that baby packed full. It's ready to go the next morning. You don't have to go looking for anything. It's ready. I mean, that's just one of her things that she does extremely well.
She doesn't believe in fairies.
No. But, you know, and, you know, we have other Dan, he does a great job on the floors. You know, that's kind of like what he likes to do, you know. So it's just, I think right now we probably have some of the best people we've had ever. But I have five grandkids working for me right now, too, so that's, that's a plus.
You might be a touch biased.
I'm praying to
You got your hand on them. So let's go a step farther with that than details. Let's talk about follow-through. Why is follow-through important for an employee? Why does that make a difference if a job's left unfinished?
Well, in my business, one of the things that I constantly push on them is that, look, we're not doing this for a one-time sale. We are here for repeat business. We want that customer to be treated fairly. It's a philosophy of doing a good job for that customer so they come back.
Yeah.
So that they feel comfortable with us, that we're going to give them what they come in here to get.
Right.
Every time.
Yes.
Consistency is a big thing.
Say that again. What was that last word you used?
Consistency is a big thing.
What word?
Consistency.
Everybody say consistency. In other words, it's the same every time. Restaurant business, Larry, you guys run a lot of food. If your pizza's not the same, when I buy it once and I like it, when I come back, I expect it to taste the same way. The only way for me to get it the same way is if those employees follow the same recipes and take the same steps. And everywhere you work, no matter what you do, there's a recipe you're following, right? And so if we don't follow those steps or those protocols or those procedures that they've put in place, it doesn't get us to the same recipe. And customers are very finicky, and they pick up on that real, real quick. I like to do repeat business with our vendors. Millions of dollars over the last 13 years that we've done, and I love doing repeat business. One of the things I ask somebody when I'm looking for a contractor or whatever it might be, I want to talk to a previous customer, and my first question is, would you rehire them? Chris Thorne is not only somebody I've worked for, but somebody I would hire over and over and over, who Christian Carpentry, and he could very well be up here tonight talking about this. He did an amazing job on the beams in the lobby and on all the gorgeous white casing out there that's on the walls. Would y'all let him know how much you appreciate him tonight? But consistency, and that's what I've always known him. You're always going to get the same thing every single time. You come back. Larry, I've got it. Did anybody else want to weigh in on that hasn't said anything yet? Sure.
We used to do a lot of cooking, make our own salads and everything from scratch, you know. And I came in one day, and somebody had made the potato salad. We had a recipe there. It was supposed to make the same. And it was yellowy looking. And I said, how come that potato salad's yellow? Oh, I put mustard in it. I said, we don't put mustard in.
You did what? Yeah. So one of the things we talked about 2 weeks ago was they did a study that tracked 20,000 new hires over 3 years. And in that time, 46% of them failed in the first 18 months. They did not fail because of lack of ability. They did not fail because of performance. The top reason they failed was their lack of teachability. They lacked the ability, and here's what they said. They lacked the ability to accept and implement feedback from their bosses, colleagues, or their customers. And I told you, we can get offended or you can get promoted, but you can't get both. Let me ask just the panel in general, how should an employee receive a manager, supervisor, or boss when they come to them to teach them or show them something, just like the mustard deal? How do you want that employee to handle that? What would be helpful for you?
We try to use the buddy system. The first week or so they're with us, we assign our best employee or our manager to be right beside them for at least 4 hours, and then we slide them over to a different department. But we always try to keep it open communication. If they need help, we retrain and retrain and retrain. My boss, his favorite saying is training is not a one-time thing.
And that's good.
Continuing to know. Even as long as they're there, there's always something to learn. So, and we do expect a lot out of our employees as far as putting them in a couple million-dollar store, running the store by themselves. Get the fancy cash registers, the order machines, and all this equipment. And if somebody doesn't teach it right, it can also cost us a lot of money too. And scare customers away because it takes too long to take care of them. So.
Yeah. I think about you, Calvin. Some of you, I've had the privilege of driving some of your equipment. You might regret it after you put me in the seat, but and I know what some of the price tags on them are. And you know, for me, it's like a big toy box coming down to your place. But you know, how what makes it helpful for you when you have to go to an employee and say, "Hey, I need you to shift earlier. I need you to not put so much pressure on the boom," or whatever it might be.
Well. Sometimes it's pretty tough, you know, when you have trucks and dumps, backhoes, dozers and excavators running around. For me to talk to employees, you know, we have tailgate meetings in the morning. You know, we're talking about what we're going to do for the day, you know, what material we're going to move and where it's going to go. And through that process, that's kind of how we communicate.
Uh-huh.
And then we have sign languages too, you know. We beep horns to go when the truck's loaded. You give them a beep, and that's how we communicate throughout the day. The new guys, the younger generation, you know, they start out as laborers and work their way up. That's how I started, you know, 38 years ago. I started as concrete laborer, and. When their backhoe operator quit, they put me in the seat and they said, "This lever does this, this lever does that, take the emergency brake off," and I was a backhoe operator.
Yeah.
That's where I started.
So let me ask you a question. In those years, because I know you had a mentor in it and somebody who took you under their wing and helped you, and but let me ask you, in those years, did you listen to what they told you?
Definitely, yes. Yep. And the crew, the guys you work with, also watch out for it.
Yeah.
Throughout the day. You know, it's not just me, it's the whole crew, right? We work as a group. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've found, and we had one individual tell us who oversaw a massive team, he said, "This generation has a hard time receiving any directive at all because they say, well, no, that's not what the Google says. You know, well, the Google's not writing your paycheck." So, but the reality is there is something about our generation that wants to be very, very independent whenever some things never, ever change, and that's listening to the people that we're serving and that are working over us and that we're working with and what they have to do. Let's jump into this one. I don't want to run out of time here, but, you know, your name, Pam, is on your company. And so when somebody comes to work for you, they represent your company. Obviously, Calvin Bristol Excavating, your name is on your company. Trevor, your name is going to be riding on that company. Woody's, your name is on that company for sure. That big billboard's there to greet you in Watson's Flats. And Woody's coming up. So when somebody comes to work for you, they represent your name. Would anybody like to kind of speak to that for a second on how important that is to represent well the person you work for?
Well, yeah, I think it's what I expect out of them is just to keep the quality because when they mess up, then I get chewed out for. So, and that's something I try to let my employees know too, even all these guys who are business owners, you guys still have bosses over you. And we all still have bosses over you.
The customer.
Yeah, right, yeah. And we need to be a cut above the rest at all times. And we just need to keep integrity going. We need to keep it high because, again, if one of my employees are short in any other area of work, it comes back on me, it comes back in our name. And then because I'm a born-again Christian and I don't hide it, then it comes back on the name of Jesus Christ. That's why I always want everything to be done accurately, 110%, as much as possible.
Amen.
Our company motto is whatever it takes. It's been that motto for 15 years probably. And we have that motto because everyone from the top down to the bottom does everything. What do you think you said? Clean the bathroom out. I get down on my hands and knees and I'll clean the bathroom out. If that's what needs to be done, that's what needs to be done. And we want everyone to feel the same way. We want everyone to feel equal in the company, and that it means that much to the company that the dirtiest of jobs has to be done by the highest of the ranks and down to the lowest. And Calvin said it too. I mean, he started as labor. I started as labor too. That's how you grow, and that's how you, and that shows to your employees.
You didn't start on top?
No.
Oh my goodness.
No, I thought that that's how it worked, but it didn't work.
Nobody handed it to you?
No, I know, right? Unbelievable. but yeah, I mean that's kind of how we try to keep everybody on the same page, to let everybody know that, hey, job needs to get done, right? Whether you like it or not, whether it's dirty or not, it's got to get done. So,
Calvin, you said something that just blew me away the other day, and it spoke a lot of perseverance. How many years do you say you've been in business?
28.
You do pretty good. You've done pretty good for a redneck.
Where I'm at now, yep. For redneck, I've done well. Yep.
But what you said that I absolutely loved, and I think every person in this room needs to hear it, because the devil thinks he's slick, but he uses the same trick on everybody. You said, I've had more bad years than good years.
Yeah, I have. Yep.
He's had more bad years than good years, and he still made it. Amen. You getting that? Because here's what happens. We go through hell, and we think, well, I'm the only one going through it. The season's never going to end. This is going to take me out. Well, the reality is, as a baseball player, you only got to hit 3 out of 10 to make it to the Hall of Fame. You've had more bad years than good years, and you've still succeeded. And so that tells a lot. You only got to get up one more time than you get knocked down. Amen? Could you give God praise for that tonight? Let's do this. We've got about 4 minutes left. Each of you, I'd love to hear one thing from you on this. Just one thing quickly. What drives you? What inspires you, Miss Pam?
Well, in business, what drives me is, I hope it's the right way to say it, but perfection. In
good.
A good way, without driving yourself crazy. But
yeah.
It's kind of a mental thing. I think that I just love having it be 100%. I love having it be accurate. I love having it be perfect.
It's why you've succeeded.
Yeah.
Larry, what inspires you or drives you?
What drives me is to see employees under me achieve success and be promoted from within our company. That
that's the heart of a true manager right there. If I've ever heard it, you just encapsulated the purest form of management right there, that the people under me be promoted. Calvin.
I think it's really bred into me. I grew up on a dairy farm.
Work ethic.
7 days a week, 15, 16 hours a day. That's where I get my drive from. But I think, watching people grow with me, you know, the people who worked for me came from the bottom. Most of my people do. They started out, with nothing. My mechanic, his first car, he bought 3 cars, put one together. That was his car. So my best people came from the bottom.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's excellent. I think about your dad, Stu, and his work ethic. Trevor, what drives you?
Well, I think everybody kind of said it already. I mean, perfection, success. I mean, success not only in making money. It's not about making money. It's about everyone being, I said it earlier, about being happy, about everyone wanting to come back into work the next day and enjoy coming to work. The company has had a rough road over the years. Before I got to where I'm at, we've had some managers, and before that, it was rough. You didn't want to come into work, and I want people to feel like they want to come to work. They enjoy it. That's, Pastor, you've said it before. You spend the majority of your life at work. The last thing you want to do is hate going to work.
Yeah.
So that's, I want everybody to be happy to be there.
Absolutely. Woody, what drives you?
I guess I just like to do stuff. I like to create stuff and make stuff happen. I always, when I was a kid, other kids wanted to watch TV. I wanted to build cabins or make rafts and go down the creek or something. And it's not about money so necessarily. I mean, I want to make enough to pay the bills. But I think one of the things that just kind of came about that I didn't really, wasn't kind of looking for, just was I have a bunch of grandkids, and with the business, I get a chance to be around them. I get a chance to work with them. I get a chance to do a lot of things that probably if I wasn't in business, I wouldn't get to do. I've met a lot. I like people, and I meet a lot of people. And one of the things, as I get older, that I can do is, like if I'm working in the morning, there'll be some young guys, construction guys coming in, and they're kind of just dragging. I said, "Hey, you rearing tearing this morning?"
Yeah.
And they'll look at me like, "What are you talking about, old man?" And they'll say, "Well, I don't know about the rearing tearing part, but you know, after you do that for a few days,
yeah,
you ask them those kind of questions and kind of jack them up a little bit in a nice way, you know, with a smile on your face. I just love how you see things change, you know. I've had guys that I didn't even know come in and ask me to borrow $20 and because they forgot their pocketbook and they felt comfortable doing it. And the next day they pay me back, or maybe they pay me back 6 months later, but they always did. I never got beat out of a dollar yet.
You're going to have a line at the end of the service.
Well, I don't. But, you know, I like it. I like the communication with the people.
People drive
that,
you.
That come in.
Y'all love Woody. He's awesome.
I love you guys, too.
He is driven by people.
I love encouraging these kids and young people and doing things. Or it doesn't have to be young people. There's a lot. I just enjoy people.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it, I guess.
Would y'all stand with us tonight? I want to leave you with this. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And I had a lot more I wanted to get to. But one of the things Trevor said was, he said, never stop growing. It's a key to success. You've got to keep going after it. And the Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me." He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." And I believe success is not only attainable, but it is possible and probable in every single one of our lives, that we each have the ability to use what God has given us to do what He's called us to do. Amen. Would you let our panel know how much you appreciate them tonight sitting up here and on the hot seat? It's not easy. Y'all hang with me just for a minute. Congregation, if you would just extend your hand toward them, let's pray for them tonight. Father, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for each of these businesses represented. We thank you for Pam and her company. We thank you tonight for Larry and his service for Pump and Pantry, and for Calvin and Bristol Excavating. We thank you, God, tonight for Trevor and Gorick Construction. And God, I praise you tonight for Woody and Jeannie and Woody's Country Store. And we call them blessed. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you give them and every business owner here, every employee, every individual, wisdom, God, to build according to your plan. Wisdom is worth more than money. And Lord, we ask you to give them favor. We call in new business from the north, south, east, and west, new contracts. God, we thank you for the team they need to succeed. We call them in the name of Jesus, laborers for their respective harvests. And God, that each of these places where these individuals work, that your presence and your promises be on display right out front and center. Maybe not necessarily visually, but God, it would absolutely be seen in principle. And Father, we just give you thanks and praise tonight. We apply the blood of Jesus over all of us as we travel home tonight. Thanks for the gorgeous snow coming our way. But Lord, we just ask that you would protect us, keep us safe, let our tires stick to the road, and everyone have a safe trip home. Clear our path from any deer. And Father, we thank you. We cancel any assignment against your people tonight. And we declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, make each and every one of us succeed, and let no one here tonight feel discouraged, disappointed, or insignificant, no matter where they're at, whether they're employed, laid off, fired, unemployed, whatever it might be. I thank you, God, that their identity begins with you. And from that place of new identity in you, God, there flows purpose and creativity and passion and vision and a dream, God. And I thank you, and we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Can you give him the ovation before we leave tonight? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We love you. God bless you. I can't wait to see you Sunday. Bring a friend with you.